truly a nation? This is a question. I am not absolutely sure. And there are many people who that I interviewed, very bright ones. And I could not put them in the film because they were too provocative. But even Grossman says this at the end of the film, the questions of the borders. We don't know where are our borders. We don't know till where the flame of our identity gets. The former commander of the Israeli Air Force in the Yom Kippur War, who is considered as a fascist by most of his colleagues and friends. Okay, but he's a bright man whatsoever. And he told me, we are not a nation. We are a Judenrat with an army, which is quite interesting to... And explain me why there are so many Israelis who are running in the world, no? So many here in this country, for instance. These are, but why not, too? The Jews are travelers, no?
Yes.
One of the things that engages and interesting in the show is the way that it's composed of many moments of, it seems, some moments that are staged or conditions that are created for something to happen, and also moments of discovery and surprise, sometimes as a result of those situations. One thinks, for instance, of Svetnik going down the river, and I think that's a very marked occurrence. You can obviously restage that. Some are less marked. Bomb is in the barber shop, pay attention closely, so he's not really cutting the hair, but the locomotive driver perhaps is even less marked, and then you're surprised by the gesture that he makes. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that from your point of view as a filmmaker, about that movement between staging and control on one hand, and your openness to discovery and surprise on the other, which occurs over and over again. I think for you, it's in the view.
But one has to leave some freedom to the people. This is what is so important and so difficult in this kind of film. And precisely it's a reason why this film is like a real adventure. You know, it's what I wanted to say yesterday. I used to read for the French government some years ago. After Shoah, I was a member of a commission who gives money to help the people to make films, what is called advance on resets. And if the film is a success, the government is paid back. Okay, but in order to get this money, they have to give a scenario, you know. And most of the time, you have a scenario, it's like a book, you know, scene after scene, plan after plan, and every word is in. And sometimes I was asking myself, but why is it necessary to shoot this? Because if it is written, why to shoot it? You know, to make a film has to be an adventure, too. On the film like Shoah, for instance, if you take the story of Bomba, the barber, I don't want to repeat this because I said it already many times, but I felt during the shooting that something was would happen, and I did not know what. But I felt it. And there were 5 minutes left inside the camera. 5 minutes, it is a lot. But suddenly I decided, it was an intuition, I decided to reload in order to have not 5 minutes, but to have 11 minutes. OK. it was a good intuition because Bomba started to break during this 11 minutes. But imagine that he would break at the moment I am reloading. I cannot ask him, please cry again. It's impossible. It is very dangerous to do such a thing because it is not like a theater play where you can repeat every evening. But they have to act too. It is very complicated, you know. And the man with the locomotive, it is the same. I put him again in the situation. But I did not ask him to do this. It took 10 kilometers, you know. He was on the locomotive before arriving to the station of Treblinka. Well, these are the miracles of such a shooting. But the difficulties too. It's like when you are with a horse, you have to held and to live freedom too. It's complex.
I just wonder if anyone on the panel had something. I know I cut off Susan rather abruptly. Did you have something else that you wanted to add to?
Why don't we have it, Brian? Why don't you speak from the floor?
I just wonder if you could comment on I don't know how big a group this is or whatever. Some younger people who react. They were captured in a recent film made by the Germans. The film is called Paladin.
Speak louder, please.
A recent German film named Balagan.
Yes.
Balagan. It's about an Israeli theater troupe that, in a sacrilegious way, sort of mocks the Holocaust, claiming that one of the women that is in this theater troupe, her father is a survivor. She tattooed numbers into her skin as if she were a survivor, and of course she's far too young to have been one, but it's completely scandalous for her to be doing that. And she suggests that in Israel, the Holocaust, she says, the Holocaust is the new religion of Israel. Right? And essentially the film is built around this idea. And two things emerge from the film. One is that these people are deeply committed to working through the experiences of their parents. But on the other hand, precisely they're trying to resist the institutionalization of what they see as the new religion of the Holocaust. And I'm wondering if you've had any experience with that.
Yes, well, one who could say so, yes. They do too much, you know. It is the madness of the end of this millennia. It's what I call the Jewish activism. If you take Yad Vashem, for instance, now it's becoming a town, it's becoming a city. They had new buildings, new halls, new. It's non-stop. I think one must talk and to be silent at the same moment. But to say, it's a good film, this Balagan.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. No, it's absolutely
to see the Holocaust as a new religion, I don't believe so. Anyhow, it will stop. Probably. probably they do too much. But listen, explain me why. And you don't think that it is a religion in this country, no? They are building a museum after one after the other. Why? Anyhow, it was an event of such scope that you cannot master this. It's normal that you have Israeli who will say, we are fed up with this. Absolutely normal. It's not surprising. But I didn't understand. She wrote a number on a transgression. Desacralization. Okay, but don't ask me these questions. I mean, it has nothing to do with Shoah. Shoah is a film pure. I don't know. And I did it long ago.
How would you respond to the institutionalization?
I don't respond. Why should I? Why should I? There are crazy people in Israel, you know. Many. And it is not because it is Israeli that it is taboo, no? That one cannot touch. They have to be originals at any price, you know. They are fighting for originality, many of them, for a place in the sun.
Maybe one more question. Here.
I wonder if you could clarify something earlier.
Louder, Peter, I think it's hard to hear.
Clarification on that before. Earlier, I think you said something along the lines of the film is not about either memory. I think you said memory. It's not about memory, it's about death. Did you say that?
Yes, I said, okay. I wanted to say that it is the immemorial. Immemorial in Shoah, who rings the bell, who calls and who permits the story to start. It is the immemorial and the present. It is definitely not the past. It is out of this world and it is present. Out of our time and it is present. But it is not the past. It's more complicated than only a relationship to the past.
I think we have last related question. Edgar Rosenberg.
Really brief. How did you go about finding, let's call them the actors in Shoah? How did you find people like Frau Michelsohn the German camp officials, or for that matter, Müller and
How did you find them?
Listen, let's start again.
So it will take hours if I have to answer you. It's not Frau Michelsohn, said I found her name in some archives about Helmno, the name of the husband, who was a teacher. Mm. Okay, and I discovered that she was alive, but it took a lot of time. And I went there, she did not want to talk. I called earlier, I called, okay, I went. It was a kind of a rape too. But she was not alone in the room. There were several people of the family and so on. It was, and she wanted money. And I gave money to many people when I met Shoah, but not to her. I promised I would do, but I didn't do it. But, okay, it was... every German who is in the film is a miracle. In principle, they disagree to talk and to be filmed, for sure. It was very long. It took months and years to find them. is different form. And the case of the Jews is different. The case of the Jews, they were well known, the Jews who are in Shoah, because there were a handful of people, these people of the Sonderkommando. The real problem was to convince them to talk. And even after they said yes, it was very difficult. The conduct of the interviews as such was very straining, you know, for them and for me, for everybody, for the whole crew, whatsoever. But on the polls, it was another story, too. Okay. But okay. Bomba, I spent 2 days with him, not far from here, in the Catskills, you know. After, it took me a very long time to find him, because he disappeared. But I spent 2 days with him in a little hut in the Catskills, and I listened at him, and I asked him questions, but without camera, without nothing, in order to know what he... And I shot with him 2 years later. I didn't know even if I could be able to shoot with him. There were questions of camera. It was very difficult.
I think we'll stop there and thank Claude Lanzmann for visiting us and really doing something.